103.2 Dublin City FM. This is Mental Wealth with Brian Green. Good afternoon and welcome to the programme. Programme number 5 in the series, and we're streaming through the shows really fast. If you want to get in touch, email me mentalwealth@briangreen.com, mentalwealth@briangreen.com. If you have any ideas for the programme, if you've got interview suggestions, mentalwealth@briangreen.com. Let's get straight into today's programme. And following on the success of last week's single person interview type of style of show, we're doing the same again. And on the phone today, I have somebody who I have never spoken to before, but have always wanted to get on the phone and speak to. And a radio interview gives me the excuse to do that. Say hello and good afternoon to Kelly Martin. Kelly.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for having me on the show.
No problem. People will be wondering, who is Kelly Martin? So in your own words, who's Kelly Martin?
Do you know, who is Kelly Martin is probably one of the hardest questions you can ever ask anybody, I think. I could tell you what I do, but I think I'd rather go into who I actually am as a person. I'm a very passionate person who believes in helping people who are suffering from anxiety, depression, and I want to help those who feel they're stuck in life, basically, Brian. I want to let them know that they're okay as they are. But beyond my actual own passions and emotional self, I actually have written 2 books, which are part of the Shine series. And book 1 was called When Everyone Shines But You. And book 2 was called When Everyone Shines Including You. And they came from my own journey and my own difficulties in life, basically.
We'll go into those 2 books in a little bit more detail later, but let me just say how I came across you first. And while it hasn't been discussed and it's not supposed to be a big thing on this particular programme, I was looking for answers to questions with regard to panic attacks, and I came across your blog. You've been blogging for 11 years and you've got a lot of back catalogue over those years with regard to reviews of books and writings that you've done. So I'm having panic attacks and I'm looking for answers, and we go to Dr. Google, and Dr. Google brings up on the first page results your blog. Well, he's cheaper than the general practitioner, but I suppose we at some stage do need to consider the GP as well. But I Google and I come across you and I get into reading your blog, and you could jump on any page on the internet and kind of say, okay, there's the information, I'll take it or leave it, I'm not quite sure if they're telling me if it's true. But what happened with your blog is I kind of get sucked into the writing and the way that you are very compassionately, gently bringing people into your story and your prescribed solutions to particular situations and kind of life-affirming beliefs that you have as to how to get along when everything isn't going swimmingly well. Would that be... is that how a lot of people come across you, or...?
It is. I think I'm sort of not the last port of call, but everybody's tried everything by the time they get to me. And I think they've got so frustrated and so fed up with what's out there in the self-help market, and they just don't feel like nobody's reaching them, especially when they're in a really dark place. Because when you're feeling really depressed or really anxious, you don't want to be told to say positive affirmations or look in the mirror and say, I love you. It's just, it's too hard when you're in that place, basically.
You've just reminded me of something. So I did a review for your first book on Amazon, and it was probably one of the first reviews I've ever done for anyone's book. So I was a little bit nervous, but sure, I did it anyway. And I think that was the key takeaway point for me was, and we're not trying to get into the book just yet, but it was that you are not like the other self-help people, because you're not actually saying what they say.
No. I don't actually ever want to be like that, because I think the difference between me and other writers is I actually write when I'm in the midst of the feeling, whereas a lot of people write at the end of their story, almost when they're in a really happy place. And when you read what they're saying, they're not actually connected to what it's like to actually be in that place anymore, or they may never have been, basically.
And if it's to be fair to the other people, maybe if we put them in a box and say what a lot of self-help people are writing about, and there's a lot of self-help books on the bookshelves in the bookstores, they're saying, write down your list and then wish for this and think about it a lot and look at your list in the morning and look at it in the evening and that kind of stuff. And you just go in the opposite direction of that.
Yeah, I do actually. I'm quite controversial. I have had a lot of harassment from people who are really into that. And I've had a lot of really negative comments and feedback because I've gone the complete opposite to everybody that's into the law of attraction and creating your reality.
Okay, so let's go back to you and why you start writing. And I suppose well before the books, you're writing the blog. Were you writing before the blog as well? Or were you writing diaries? Or what were you doing?
I was actually, I used to really write fiction when I was younger as a child, and had a really not very nice experience with an English teacher who put me off writing altogether. So I stopped writing for a very long time because I just felt like I wasn't very good at it. And then I just continued with diaries at home. And it was just before I started my blog, I wrote on a few sort of web forums back then. You know, before the days of Facebook, there used to be sort of internet forums and AOL forums and...
Bulletin boards, Bulletin boards.
Yes, bulletin boards. I did a lot of writing on just little small articles, bits and pieces everywhere. And then I decided to start my blog, and I named it Kelly Martin Speaks, which was really ironic because that is a fear I'm overcoming, public speaking. And it just started from there. It began as a healing journey for me, and then it just expanded, really.
So let's go into that a little about yourself. So you're not a this is your, you know, one of your first radio interviews. You're not a natural born performer. You are an extremely shy person, or you were.
I was extremely shy. I am probably a very strong introvert, but I've always felt deep inside that there's a message that wants to come out and to speak. I've always felt I was going to be speaking in life in some way, but because of one thing or another, you know, the sort of things that happens to you in childhood, I got completely frozen and terrified when it came to speaking. So I hid myself for until my late 30s, I would say. And it's just been this past year, I would say, that I've started moving in the direction of speaking again. And I've avoided it for so long. So, yeah, it's a scary thing, but I'm going to go and do it.
Would it be kind of silly to shortcut some advice and say that everybody should do what you do and start writing and just start getting out there and putting it out? Or is that not for everybody?
I think writing is good for everybody because it connects sort of your brain and your heart and your soul as one. And even if nobody's reading it, you could just write. And I find that there's a teacher called Julia Cameron. She does a lot of teaching about creativity. And one of her messages is to write these things called morning pages, where each morning you just start writing and you write anything that comes into your head. It could be how you're feeling, what you're having for breakfast, and you write for about 3 pages. And you don't edit it, you don't even think about what you're writing, you just write it. And by the time you get to the end of it, you just feel a lot more relief, and any resistance that's been there, it starts your day really well. So writing, to me, is one of the most healing processes you can do, especially if you're introverted, or you're shy, or you're quiet, and you really want to get your voice out there. It's a start, and then you can see where you go from there. Just do, you know, one day at a time, basically.
And so you start writing, or you kind of assimilate in from that early web, before web 2.0, before blogging, and then blogging comes along. Is it do you need a bit of a push to go there? Are you procrastinating, saying, will I start this, will I not start this, when will I start this, or do you just go for it?
I would just go for it, but I know a lot of people who resist and procrastinate going for it because they seem to think that you've got to be really perfect when you're doing blogging, and they resist that because they feel the writing's got to be perfect, they've got to be having a special message or great wisdom. But in the beginning, in the early days of my blog, I have to say it wasn't my best writing, and some of the stuff was just personal to me, so it had no wisdom for anybody but me. But it got it out there and it started the journey, and then you just become a better writer. The more you write, the better you become, the more you learn to write and just feel and get in touch with your emotions.
One of the topics that you return to a bit during your blogging is the kind of, and I kind of sum it up in, you know, making your own luck and this argument as to whether that is true or completely false. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, so about the law of attraction, really, a lot of people are really getting into this because of the movie The Secret and a few teachers out there who are doing a lot about this. And I think actually it's become all the rage. Everybody I know is talking about the law of attraction. And I find it quite frustrating because what I'm finding, a lot of people are trying to get really quick fixes. They're trying to get, you know, new cars, new houses. They're trying to get a relationship and getting it really quickly. And what they're being taught by a lot of these teachers is to get rid of the negative and be positive. But these teachers are not addressing the suffering and the conditioning that a lot of people go through in life. You can't just suddenly be positive. And to me, I don't feel like you can create things quickly and instantly if they're not on your path. You could sit one day and just decided you wanted a brand new car. But if it wasn't meant for you and it wasn't, you were meant to not have a car for a reason, maybe you were meant to get more exercise, or you were just meant to have certain lessons through not having a car. You, no matter how much you try and create that through positive thinking, through affirmations, through dream boards, through gratitude lists, it wouldn't happen because it wouldn't be part of your journey. And that's the part I think a lot of people are missing, that you don't realize you allow what you need. It's not necessarily always what you want, but it's what you need.
I'm not trying to get into a debate or an argument with you, but let me say that I kind of go along with the affirmation thing to a point, and that is to put you into the right frame of mind. But my test for it is that if it was really going to work, I would be able to have positive thoughts and ideas about a particular horse that was going to win a particular race, or particular numbers were going to come out on next Saturday night's lotto, and I would therefore win. Of course, there is no voodoo magic thing going on. It can't be, because the future cannot be foretold. But you've got to do more, and your side of it is that there's an underlying problem that needs to be looked at.
Yes, totally. And also to realise that sometimes you've got to be where you are for anything to happen. And, you know, being mindful and allowing your life to unfold doesn't necessarily mean that you're just sitting back waiting for things to drop from the sky and come to you. By being more present and more open to your feelings, to what's going on in your life, the more likely your life will just naturally unfold, and you suddenly become more action oriented. You'll feel like you've got to go and do a certain thing, or call somebody on the telephone, or take an opportunity, but you'll do it from the present moment rather than thinking of a far off future goal that you want. You allow that just to unravel, if that makes any sense.
And this is a kind of a point of view that gets you into some trouble.
What kind of aggro or little
internet spats have you had with people about it?
Well, I've got a video on YouTube where I help a lot of people who have become addicted to a certain teacher. I won't name the teacher. And I did a video where I talk to people who are addicted to this teacher. They're really heavily addicted. And it's for these people. It's to help their families. It's almost like a cult, basically. And I've been having emails, I've been having messages on my blog, people saying how devastated these people are for these law of attractions and their addiction to the law of attraction and how it's affecting their family life. Anyway, I did this video and I had about 300 comments on this video, and probably about 85% of them were negative, and they were all telling me what a load of rubbish I was talking, and about how I'd never clue what I was talking about, and how I got it all wrong, and it went on forever. And some of them were personal attacks on my personality and how I did the video, and it was a big eye-opener, Brian.
Do you know what I love is the way you're not giving them any oxygen of publicity. You're not mentioning their name, not because you don't want to prolong the spat, but because you're just saying they don't need any more publicity.
Exactly.
So let's go to a book, and book number one. I hear you're writing number three. We'll get into that as well. But everyone says everyone's got a book in them, and you must have known, well, there's a book in me. And then you go and write it. I'm just going to kind of go into it for a second and say that you then don't write it purely from the personal perspective like you write your blog. It's kind of more reflective. It's the ideas and the examples and the teachings and the learnings come out of kind of the aftermath of what you've wrote in the blog, and you use them as best you can to put chapters together and kind of come through the storyline. Is that fair to say that it's a little less personal when it went to the book?
It is a little less personal, book one, because it was really, when I wrote book one, I was in a really dark place and I wanted answers, and it was almost like I had a a conversation with myself, and it was somebody else speaking to me, and I needed the answers as much as anybody else that reads them. So it sounded impersonal, but it was coming from sort of some source inside of me, some well of wisdom. And when I read it back, when I first received my book from my publisher, I actually didn't think it was my book. I actually looked at the cover and I thought, who is this book? I don't know who wrote this. But from reading it, I've gained so much from learning from my own, well, not my own words, the intuition that came through. But it was very unexpected because I honestly didn't expect to write a book. It came from desperation, really.
And the book is called When Everyone Shines But You. So if I were to try and sum it up, and then if you were trying to come back and just correct that a little and mm-hmm. tell us what it really is about. But I take it that it's a book written by yourself, and it's a help book, but not a self-help book, in that you're going through typical experiences for people like you. So I'm kind of dissing it from being it's all about me, but because it wasn't.
No.
And you're kind of saying, well, this is where I was. And then you focused very deeply on the problem, and you kind of synthesized the problem and said, this is what the problem is. And then you came up with, generally, an alternative solution to the other self-help books.
Yes, that's exactly what it is, yeah. I wanted to reach not only myself, but I wanted to reach people who didn't feel good enough, people who felt broken, people who felt they were stuck in life and they were never going to move forward. And I actually tackled it in a way that each day that I sat down at the computer, as I was going through something, it could be I was really jealous or envious, or I was comparing myself with others. And I got to such a state where I was so angry and raging some days that I just needed to know what to do, and just started typing, and something came out, and I was really surprised at the message that came through and the understanding.
Is that a difficult thing to do? Because you mentioned your video, and I've seen some of your videos on YouTube, and to me, even more than writing, the videos, which cover the same topics and the same ideas and thoughts and solutions, but it's very laid bare. You're laying your soul out there, out on the internet, and as you say, you can get 85% negative feedback sometimes, not all the time. As a process, is it hard to get into that space where you can share your personal hurts and problems and worries?
I'd say it's probably not as hard as trying to put on a performance. You know, a lot of people who do speaking or talking, they try and put on a sort of air of being perfect. And I realize that from my own emotional state, it can be quite traumatic. It can be quite heightened. And anxiety, you probably know yourself, it's quite a heightened, scary feeling. And sometimes you just can't bypass that. So I found that the more I talk from that place of emotional stuff that's going on, the easier it becomes and it just flows. It's almost being real, you know, and feeling helps the healing. Gosh, I didn't mean to rhyme there, but it happened.
I summed up the book there earlier, and it was in a kind of a long way. But something that kept coming out, and this is a really short sum of the book, summing up of the book, is that it's three words, and it happens to be a Beatles song, but let it be.
That's perfect.
But you do return, those words are in the book.
Yes.
And it's... So just explain that kind of those three words to me from the book's perspective. You're saying just what is and get on with it. Tell me about it.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Well, I'll give you an example from today. This being my first radio show, I actually was quite nervous. There was a lot of anxiety and fear. My heart was pounding. I had a few tears because it has been quite a phobia for me speaking. And instead of fighting it like I would have done in the past, because it was not a panic attack, because I don't really have panic attacks anymore, but instead of trying to distract myself with food, with busy working, just anything to get rid of it, or even positive thinking, because some people do that, I just sat and I allowed the anxiety and the fear to come up. And I'm of the opinion that the painful feelings that we have are not to be resisted. And we can't get rid of anxiety by pushing it away with things. And we need to treat the anxiety or the fear or whatever it is like we would have a small child. And if a small child was scared, we'd hold it and bring love into it and comfort it and embrace it. And I found that since writing the books and learning from the writing and all of the journey since then, it's probably been the best thing I've learned so far, is that it's just being real with myself. And the more I do that, the less the anxiety arises. And I haven't been depressed in a very long time. And that's all because I don't fight the negative anymore.
You did your first book. It was very well received. And you then got straight into a second book, which was very much a sequel, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a sequel. I mean, I didn't actually intend to write a second book. And I was sitting having some healing with a friend who just said to me, "When's your second book coming out?" And I was like, "Oh, really? There's a second book?" And then I just thought, okay, maybe there is. And then what I found was, from the first book, that I started to realize I had to start allowing myself to be seen. You know, it was everyone shines but you. And it was time for me to start to be seen. And I realized as I got into that, it was very scary. And there was a lot of feelings, even more feelings came up from allowing myself to be seen and heard. And that's how book two came.
Can I just, this is, you know, in the spirit of the interview and what we've been talking about, complete honesty, I loved book one. I found book two was less going to be helpful to me. And I'm sure that could be, you know, well-founded in that it's not going to be for everybody.
No. I think everybody likes different things, don't they? I mean, not everything's everybody's cup of tea. You have to be in that space as well. Book two, if you're already all right with shining and you're already okay with being seen, book two may not have any help or support for you. But if you're someone who is maybe shy or introverted, scared to get on the stage of life, book two's a good one to help say goodbye to the failure story.
And this is just a personal reflection, is that I found book one very helpful, but it was for things that happened way in my past. And then I wasn't in the situation of needing book two because I was, okay, this might not be a fair thing to say, but let's say I was already shining, so why did I need book two? And I read it, and I was saying, this isn't for me. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fair, definitely. It's funny, it's good to hear that, actually, because some people say they really like book two more than book one.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, because it's one thing that I'm learning from doing the writing, is I'm learning to receive positive praise and sort of critique as well, because, you know, you get a lot when you're doing writing and you're putting yourself out there. And that's part of book two, is when you're putting yourself out there, you're putting yourself on the line, basically.
And if you take book two to its conclusion, what is it, in a nutshell, saying to people about getting out there and shining?
Well, it's more about the vulnerability side of things, allowing yourself to be vulnerable and to take one step at a time and don't try and rush yourself. Yeah, if you sort of think you've got to be a speaker, or you've got to run a business, or you've got some new idea, new project you want to put out there, that you don't have to frighten yourself into rushing into the big goal. You can take one step at a time, and you're going to have stuff come up, and not everybody's going to get it. And some people even may leave your life when you start to shine for the first time, because they might have been quite content with you being small and insignificant. But if you've been like that for a long time, you suddenly start to reveal who you are, then some people will just depart from your life. And that is one of the lessons I've had, that not everybody wants you to do good in the world.
And if you read Kelly Martin's blog, you will know more about that from many perspectives. Kelly, tell us your favourite life tip.
Oh, my favourite life tip.
And this is on the spot, sorry.
It's my favourite life tip is what I've been talking about, I think, in the interview most of all, is that we are enough as we are. We don't need to be perfect. That whatever is coming up for you in the moment is perfect, that you're human, and that you don't need to fix yourself, and you are not a mistake, basically. And to let your feelings be, they don't need to be resisted.
Beautiful, absolutely. You're in Gloucester in England.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes you most happy in Gloucester, England? Like, what is it on the radio? What song is going to make you go get up and dance?
I've got this really, it sounds really sad, but I've got this playlist on YouTube, which I call the Shine Series playlist for myself. And I listen to it regularly. And it has some really kind of upbeat songs. And there's things like, Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. Katy Perry, Fireworks, one of my favourites. That makes me cry, but in a good way. And Jessie J's Masterpiece, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, I love those. I've got quite a lot. I listen to them over and over again. I'm a bit obsessive, but it make me feel good.
As you said, Katy Perry, it reminded me, did you do a playlist of breaking up songs?
I did, yeah. Yes, I did. I can't remember what was on there at the time, but I wanted empowering love songs because a lot of people break up and there's all these love songs that really make you depressed and sad, and sometimes you've got to move forward and be empowered by that experience. So I wanted some songs that made me feel better, not miserable.
I didn't break up with anybody, but I went and listened to it. It was kind of fun. It was fun to do. Listen, you're thinking about number three, and it's going to come out I think you're calling it book three at the moment as a kind of a working title. Why not? It's coming out this year, 2017. And what's it going to be about?
Called When Everyone Shines, literally, When Everyone Shines, and it's going to be a self-love manual because for me, for example, I find accepting myself has become a new experience, but loving myself is the next stage, and it's going to be quite a big book. I've already got all of the chapters, which is really unusual for me because I never get chapters in advance. I just do it in the spur of the moment. I just start writing, so I have a lot to start, and that's going to hopefully be out by the end of the year.
I can't wait. Will you send me an early version?
I'll
do another review. The trilogy will be complete. Kelly Martin, where can people find out more details about your writings?
Basically, my main website, which is kellymartin.co.uk, and that's got all of my books on there. It also got a link to my blog as well. It's probably the easiest one to go to. I also have an editorial business where I help self-help authors publish for the first time. And this year, I'm starting something really scary for me called sensitivespeakers.com to help people overcome public speaking fears as I overcome them too.
Okay, well, now that we've heard you on your Irish and radio debut, I think you should podcast more.
That's really funny. I was actually saying to my friend, I said, since I agreed to do this radio show, I thought, I'm going to do a podcast. That's what I'm going to do.
I will send you an equipment spec that you can buy for under £100 in a high street store, and you can get yourself podcasting. Kelly Martin, thank you very much for coming on the radio.
Thanks, Brian. Bye.
103.2 Dublin City FM, kellymartin.co.uk for more details. We'll be back next Tuesday at 12:30. If you want to get in touch with the programme, it's mentalwealth@briangreen.com from Dublin City FM. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. Stay well, stay safe, take care. Bye-bye.